The Life of the Reverend John W. de la Fletcher, compiled from the narratives of the Reverend Mr. Wesley, the Bibliographical Notes, the Reverend Mr. Gilpin from his own letters, and other authentic documents, many of which never before published, by Joseph Benson, 1805, being read by Peter John Parisis. Prefix. It has been long the desire of many of Mr. Fletcher's friends to see a more full and complete account of the extraordinary man than any that had appeared. Mr. Wesley's narrative of his life was drawn up in great haste, and in the midst of so many important labors and concerns of another kind that it is not at all surprising it should contain some small mistakes, and in other respects should be imperfect. Mrs. Fletcher never intended to write his life, but only to give an account of his death, with a few particulars of his character. The Reverend Mr. Gilpin's biographical notes, annexed to his translation of Mr. Fletcher's portraiture of St. Paul, are very excellent and very accurate as far as they go. But neither did Mr. Gilpin intend to write his life, but simply to give some more traits of his character, and add a few anecdotes concerning him which had been omitted by Mr. Wesley and Mrs. Fletcher. Add to this that Mr. Gilpin's notes are scattered through that work without any order, and however useful as detached pieces, do not, in any respect, furnish the reader with a regular and connected history of that great and good man. In consideration of these things, it has been judged by his friends to be a debt true to his memory and to the Christian world to compile from the whole and from such other documents as might be collected such an authentic and properly arranged narrative of his life and death as might be at once clear and sufficiently full, compromising every article of importance. Mrs. Fletcher, knowing that I have been particularly intimate with Mr. Fletcher from the year 1768 till his death, and that we had been in constant habit of corresponding, earnestly desired I would undertake this work. From our general conference held at Leeds in the year 1801, having joined with her in the same respect, I have at length compiled, and am not without hope, that the interest of pure and vital Christianity will be promoted by it. This narrative includes the whole of what is material in the forementioned accounts, digested in regular order, together with much new material, taken chiefly from Mr. Fletcher's own letters to myself and some other friends, especially to Reverend Mr. Perronet, P-E-R-R-O-N-E-T, late of Shoreham, and some members of his family. I have found it to be peculiarly useful to myself to be employed about this work, and I pray God that every reader may obtain similar and even greater benefit from it and be induced to follow him as fully as he followed Christ. Joseph Benson, London, October 25, 1804. Prefix to the second edition. The editor is aware that he must chiefly ascribe to the high esteem entertained by the public in general and by the members of the Methodist societies in particular for the character of the late Reverend Mr. Fletcher, and the great veneration in which his memory is held by them, that the former impression of this work has had so rapid a sale, and that a second edition is so soon called for. He is, however, happy to find by the testimonies he has received from different quarters that the manner in which he has been enabled to execute this office of compiler has been highly satisfactory to Mr. Fletcher's friends and to the readers of the publication in general. It is true the editor of a periodical work termed the Christian Observer have represented it as an imperfection of his mode of compilation that he did not weave the whole of his material into a completely new work, but this, he must observe, was not the task assigned him, nor would be, if desired, have consented to undertake it, well knowing both it would require more time than he could have spared from his other, not less important employments, and that the work would gain nothing thereby in point of real usefulness. for he was well persuaded that he could not express the same things in his own words so well as the Reverend Monsieur Wesley and Gilpin had expressed them, nor clothe the materials furnished by these truly pious and learned writers in more pure, elegant, and forcible language than they had used. He knew, therefore, that to have pursued the plan of conductors of the miscellany had have suggested would have not rendered the work more interesting or more instructive to the reader, or in any respect better calculated and answer the great important ends of religious biography, which are not to gain honor and applause to the writer, but rather to excite and animate the reader to greater zeal and diligence in pursuit of whatever excellency might be described or amplified in the subject of it. Add to this, he was sensible it was not the wish of any of the parties by whom he was pressed into the service that the narratives of Monsieur Wesley and Gilpin should be superseded and lost sight of. He knew it was rather their desire that these well-written, though incomplete accounts should be brought forward afresh into public view, preserved and perpetuated by being incorporated in one volume with such other materials as might be collected, thereby furnishing the public with such a clear and full history of that incomparable man as might be of lasting use to the Church of Christ and a means of edification to the thousands yet unborn. But the natural consequence of this mode of compilation, say they, is that the work is defective in clearness and uniformity, and that it is occasionally prolix and redundant. As to the prolixity and redundancy, the editors under no concern. The persons whose use chiefly he undertook to compile this volume have such veneration for the memory of Mr. Fletcher that any information concerning him that is authentic and at all instructive or calculated to cast light upon his character is peculiarly welcome, although no reader less apprised of his worth it might appear unnecessary or even superfluous. Under a persuasion of this, at the same time that the editor has corrected two or three unimportant mistakes inadvertently made in the former impression, he has enlarged the narrative still more in the present publication by inserting several anecdotes, original letters, and other communications which had not come to hand when his manuscript for the first edition was sent to the press. But as to this point of prolixity, the Christian observers themselves have formed his apology. It is but fair to observe, say they, as to this volume, that as it was evidently intended chiefly for the pursuit of the followers of Mr. Wesley, who are almost universally great admirers of Mr. Fletcher, the editor might not think it necessary to pay so much regard in the construction of his work to precisity of arrangements and elegancy of manner, as to the minuteness of his details and the abundancy of his matter. This statement, abating the unmerited insinuation contained in it against the followers of Mr. Wesley as persons who have less taste than their neighbors for the order and elegancy in composition, the editor acknowledges to be pretty near the truth. He owes, he did not pay, and thought it his duty to pay much more attention to the matter than to the form and manner of his work. He paid, however, considerable attention to the latter also, and ventures to say, while it was all the elegancy with the fine pens of Monsieur Gilpin, Wesley, and Fletcher could give it, the greatest part of its contents being expressed in their words, it was all the propriety and clearness which all arrangements according to the date of the events could bestow, an arrangement which these observers themselves acknowledge to have been attended to. As to the uniformity, it has what it quite sufficiently for a work of the kind, and the uniformity not intended of language, the simple and lake style of Mr. Wesley, differing very materially from the diffuse and floral manner of Mr. Gilpin and the copiousness of Mr. Fletcher, but what is infinitely more important, a uniformity of testimony reflecting the admirable and excellent subject of the narrative in that blessed gospel, which he preached, which he lived, and which his most eminent gifts and graces highly adored. It is also uniform as it is designed, and it is hoped that all its parts cooperate to produce the important effect intended, and that is to induce every reader to follow Mr. Fletcher as he followed Christ. In short, the editor believes that he has pursued the best plan which he could have chosen in order to trace, exhibit, and attest from the mouths of different witnesses Mr. Fletcher's character and conduct through every period of his life, and to give the reader at once a clear and full view of the progressive wisdom, piety, and usefulness, and especially of that heavenly and divine mind whereby he was prepared for the great and glorious reward awaiting him in the kingdom of his Father. Referring the reader to the appendix annexed to this edition for an answer to some, he thinks, unkind and illiberal remarks contained in the aforementioned publication on these two most eminent useful men, the Reverend Monsignor Wesley and Fletcher, on the Methodism in general, as a proper contrast to their critic and confirmation of the observations just made, the editor will now take the liberty of laying before the reader the judgment passed upon this work by the conductors of two other periodical publications, although no followers of Mr. Wesley, but persons of very different sentiments as to some important points of Christian doctrine. Nevertheless, they could not close their eyes to the uncommon piety and other excellencies of the subject of this narrative. Whatever differences of opinion, say the editor of the Theological and Biblical Magazine, see the number for April 1805, may be entertained respecting some important points of doctrine which the late Mr. Fletcher publicly maintained, we believe that there is but one opinion as to exalt piety of this eminent Christian. We have pursued those members with deep interest, and we hope also not without profit. His humility, disinterestedness, affection, zeal, and heavenly-mindedness have perhaps been seldom equaled, and few, we believe, will rise for the perusal of the volume before us without being ashamed of their own unprofitableness and adoring the riches of divine grace which were so extraordinarily manifested to this man of God. While reading this account of Fletcher, we frequently call to mind the late most admirable Mr. Pearcy, P-E-A-R-C-E, of Birmingham, whose life was written by Mr. Fuller. Footnote. Note, in the two or three first numbers of our magazine for the ensuing year, we pursued publishing a short extract of the life of Mr. Pearcy, here referred to. End of footnote. There seems indeed to have been a very great resemblance of these two characters, both of their ardency of the Christian love, their entire devotedness to God, and the constant communion they had with the Father of Spirits. We have not room for quotations, yet we feel strongly inclined to give a few expressions of his which indicate great candor towards those who thought differently from him in some less important particulars of doctrine. After producing the passage to this purpose, the reader will find in pages 369 and 370, God forbid, etc., they add, we, amongst many others, differ widely from Mr. Fletcher in some points of doctrine, but we cannot withhold our admiration of a character so truly lovely and exalted. Mr. Benson has performed his part in collecting materials for this life of Mr. Fletcher in a very respectable manner. The following sentences are transcribed from the Eclectic, that's E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C, review for June 1805, in which this work is considered at large. They have been some in most ages of Christianity and in most countries where it is professed to have emulated its primitive and genuine excellency. Among these exalted few, and the subject of biographical before us is unquestionably to be ranked. In whatever period he had lived, to whatever department of Christians he had belonged, he would have shone in the religious hemisphere as a star of the first magnitude. After giving from the volume a general outline of his history, and they add, we must refer to the narrative of his short illness given by Mrs. Fletcher, and to an amiable character of him previously introduced for a more adequate idea of this excellent man than we can attempt to impart. He was deemed preferable to give the preceding outline rather than extracts of this work, as those parts which describe the more striking scenes of Mr. Fletcher's life have formerly been printed. Mr. Benson has been very judiciously connected and completed, either from his own knowledge or authenticated documents, the detached accounts which had appeared in various publications. after mentioning a few passages by the omission of which, and by the ascension of Mr. Fletcher's character as a tutor and as a writer, the authors of the Eccentric Review thinks the volume might be amended. They add, "We are cordially recommended it in its present state to serious and candidate Christians of various every variety of form and sentiment, and it would greatly surprise us should any person of this description rise up from the perusal of it and assert that it was not afforded him pleasure and improvement." The editor has only to add that, besides some corrections and considerable enlargement of the work, the paper type and form of the volume in the present edition are so superior to those of the former that he is persuaded no reader who can afford it will regret to pay the 3 additional shillings for the book. The editor. The Reverend Mr. Wesley's prefix to the reader. No man in England has had so long an acquaintance with Mr. Fletcher as myself. Our acquaintance began almost as soon as his arrival in London, about the year 1752, before he entered into the Holy Orders, or I believe had any such intention, and it continued uninterrupted between 30 to 40 years, even till it pleased God to take him to himself. Nor was ours a slight or ordinary acquaintance, but we were of one heart and of one soul. We had no secrets between us for many years. We did not purposely hide anything from each other. From time to time he consulted me and I him on the most important occasions, and he constantly professed not only much esteem, but, what I value far more, much affection. He told me in one of his letters, I doubt not, from his heart, "With thee I gladly would both live and die. I therefore think myself obliged by the strongest ties to pay this small tribute to his memory. But you will easily observe this by doing this. I am little more than a compiler, for I owe a great, if not the greatest part of the ensuing tract to a few friends who have been at no small pains in furnishing me with material, and above all to my dear friend, such as she has almost from her childhood, Mrs. Fletcher. I could easily have altered both hers and their language while I retained their sentiments, but I was conscious I could not alter it for the better, and I would not alter it for altering's sake, but judging it fairest to give you most of their accounts very nearer in their own words. Amsterdam, September the 12th, 1786. The Life of the Reverend John William de la Fletcher, or John Fletcher. This is being read by Peter John Parises. This is the end of the prefixes.